is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen, an attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloem, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode of Walk, Talk, Listen.
Church is not about four walls. Church is about a message. Church is about care. And you have so many young people who are growing up in the 21st century, right, where they are learning about global issues at a younger age. They can communicate with a click, with a share, with a retweet, with a post. Well, we can.
Levon, what, I'm so happy that you are here with me today. I mean, I'm really excited to talk with you again.
Thank you because for having
this is the second time we meet, although it's virtual now, and the first time was in person.
Second time around.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, what I always ask is my guests to introduce themselves and tell, whatever you would like to share. So, please go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Levon Briggs. I am affectionately known as Pastor Bay in these digital streets, formerly known as Proverbs. I was a spoken word artist and slam poet for a number of years. So all of these identities floating in the world as pastor and preacher and writer and poet and transformational speaker and spiritual life coach and workshop facilitator, right? The list goes on and on and on. At the crux of everything that I do is storytelling as healing and liberation practice. And so my main concern is to create a more just and equitable world in which all of God's creation can flourish. That's who I am.
Wow. I mean, it's so, when I'm asked to tell what you do, you are doing this so succinct. It's unbelievable. So.
Well, I've had a lot of time to spend with myself, over 38 years at this point. So we're getting it down pat.
Hey, I'm way ahead of you. And the only thing I can say now, and that's what my children believe I do, is I drink coffee and I check email. So it's
hilarious. It's so wonderful to me when we see children's vantage point of what we do, because in our minds, we make it a big deal and we stress and we're concerned and we're worried and anxious and the COVID and the election, right? And the kids are like, oh, that's just drinking coffee, checking email, everything's fine. And I think two things. One, that childlike innocence and wonder, right? How life and social conditioning and trauma can massage that away from us as age, but also that you are doing an impeccable job as father to be shielding all of thisness, this bigness, right, that's happening in the world from your children. So shout out to you for being a great dad.
Oh, wow. So that's so good to hear. I feel so much better now. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, Levon.
Yeah, of course. You're worthy.
Hey, listen, it's such a pity that this year, it's not possible for me to walk with others because, but just the closest we can get. We are virtually walking together. You know why I walk the 100 mile is to raise awareness, around hunger and poverty and displacement. A lot of the work, to talk about a lot of the work that my organization does. I would ask you, if you would be asked to walk 100 mile for a cause, why would you walk 100 mile?
What really started my ministry in the public eye, Maurice, was taking a trauma-informed approach to healing in Black religious spaces in particular, but beyond Black religious space as well. I would walk to end childhood sexual abuse. As a clergy person, as a survivor myself, as a Black woman, I know all too well how this horrific horrific, you know, evil affects so many children. I mean, regardless of race, socioeconomic status, it's just a pandemic at this point. And I know we're probably tired of hearing that word, but the fact of the matter is that children, particularly Black girls, have been surviving this particular pandemic for, you know, decades. And so it is my life's work to co-create spaces where we not only, you know, heal survivors, but we also hold perpetrators accountable. And we have communal discussions about how to not be bystanders. How do we be active agents in this fight for justice for the youngest among us, right? To live happy, healthy, holistic, abuse-free lives.
Next question is always about, okay, that I understand why you would walk 100 miles, but what drives you in life? I guess when I was listening to you, it is very much related with that as well, I guess, or not.
What drives me in life? Pleasure. Pleasure. I am a pleasure activist. I mentioned that when I first started doing this public-facing ministry, that I was very much focused on identifying trauma and naming trauma. And the fact of the matter is, when you are talking to Black folks, brown folks, queer folks, women, right? Woundedness is going to be in the room. I don't need to poke at a wound to know that it needs healing, to know that it hurts, to know that it's oozing, right? And so for me, I have realized in my 38 years, that you can only receive as much pleasure as you have received healing. And so when I do a pleasure-centric focus, right, if there is something in me that is blocking my sensuality, that is blocking my ability to receive, there's something that's not allowing me to see as the bearer of the image of God. What is that blockage? What is that thing that is preventing me from living the most fabulous, pleasurable life that is my birthright? And so when I focus on pleasure and pleasure activism, it is because we all deserve to lead lives where we can flourish, right? From the most marginalized among us to the center, to the most privileged among us at the top of this proverbial food chain. We are all worthy of living lives that are satisfying, that are sustainable, that are full of wealth and abundance in all its forms, right? Peace, joy, creativity, inspiration, all the things that we love. So that's what drives me, is getting to pleasure for all of creation.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
You know, as I mentioned to you earlier, you know, I've been walking since 2012, you know, be part of doing this project. And so I've talked with a lot of folks, and what's kind of interesting, we end up talking very often about, you know, what is the purpose of life? Because, you know, you walk and then you go back to the essence and you have a time, you know, for reflection. So often it's also about religion and spirituality. And, you know, lately, many of those discussions were about, you know, the present generation, the younger generation, and, you know, their take on religion and spirituality. Mm-hmm. And some people I've talked with, they say, well, you know, the younger generation is doing and experiencing this differently. And others are saying, no, they are not experiencing this differently. It's still very similar. Mm-hmm. Maybe the institutionalization of religion is different for them, or they would like to see that different. So what is your, when you hear me say this, what is your take on that? What's your experience that?
Yeah, that's a really rich question, Maurice. So when I think about religion, I first think about Black women who are statistically the most religious people in the country, right? And so when you're talking about religion as a set institution, when we're talking about the Black church, the Christian church, Black women are the backbone of that. Just like we keep hearing in the media that Black women are the backbone of the Democratic Party, even though we're not treated like the backbone of it, that there is a steadfastness, right, that's there. Now, when it comes to particularly young people, and I don't have all of the language down pat yet around millennials and zillennial, Gen Z, Gen G, all the G's and the B's and the C's, right? What I do know is that two things are happening. First of all, when people are like, why can't we get young people in church? All the young people are leaving church. Well, have you considered how you are doing church? What does church mean, particularly in the age of COVID? I think even after it is safe for us to get back to congregating, there are still going to be some people who are not coming to church as a physical building, because what these virtual experiences have taught us is that church is not about four walls. Church is about a message. Church is about care. You have so many young people who are growing up in the 21st century, right, where they are learning about global issues at a younger age. They can communicate with a click, with a share, with a retweet, with a post. Well, we can. Look at me. I'm an elder millennial. So what we can do, and so we have questions that we can get answers to that sometimes the church historically has been afraid to even touch with a 10-foot pole. And so when you are raised, right, with the essence of authenticity, which some of our elders would consider oversharing, right? When you realize that some of our elders are conditioned to believe you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, where we are coming up vomiting around these issues, right? It's a completely different social landscape. And so the church has to adjust. You cannot give us fire and brimstone. We're not doing that anymore. We're like, there's hell on earth. So what are you talking about, this fiery pit? You know, you can't tell us that our same gender loving kin, right, are going to this fictitious place. Like, young people are growing up, I'll close this part by saying, with a mastery of language. I have seen videos of elementary school age children arguing with their parents about using the correct pronouns for their classmates or their friends, right? So there is a completely different switch that if the church writ large does not tap into and transform, right? If we don't transmute this antiquated ideology and social ethic, the church will die. The church is dead unless, right, until further notice. So for me, seeing young people in activism, seeing young people being mindful of their ancestral wisdom and their indigenous spiritual practices, that excites me, because Dr. Angela Y. Davis has been on record as saying that the activists in her generation did not realize that spirituality and self-care were important for the revolution. And I feel like we get that. We're going to give you protest, but we're going to give you prayer, right? We're going to give you lobbying. We're going to give you lament. You're going to get it all. And that's what I love about where we are now with our religion and our spirituality.
How do you keep up yourself? I mean, what is your role within this? How do you see that?
My role is to show up as a being of light here to evolve Earth. So what that means is standing for truth and justice and speaking truth to power whenever the microphone is passed to me. And whenever there's someone who's more marginalized than I am, passing the mic to them, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's who we need to be listening to in the room. It's not the person with the most power or influence, which is often begotten some unethical way, if we're honest. It's the person who is least privilege. It is the person who is most silenced that needs to be speaking. And so that's the approach that I look. I'm always looking at things from the vantage point of how is the most marginalized person hearing this, or how might they be hearing this, since, you know, I'm not in their shoes. How can I look at this from a way that is more radically inclusive, that is more radically hospitable? I'm always listening for the lack in the room and wanting to address that lack. Because when we address that lack, then trust me, the majority and the collective will be well taken care of.
A lot is going on, as you know, some of those things you already alluded to. Right. So there are, you know, quite a number of challenges, both within this country as well as, you know, in the world at large. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you worry about at the moment? That's the first part of the question. And the second part is, where are you still hopeful? Where do you see the hope within all of this?
That's so good. So I am worried that this country is learning how to live with COVID rather than eradicate it. When I look at other countries around the world, particularly countries under women's leadership, they have done what they needed to do for the collective. Outside of the United States of America, every other nation has a nation-specific kind of love and energy, right? I think when you uncover it, when you peel back the layers, you see that in the West, there is a very individualized conceptualization of the self. Everything is about me, myself, and I, and me and mine. When you use an African-centered lens, when you use an indigenous-centered praxis, it is about us and ours and the collective. And the fact that we had an evil, sinful administration that refused to create a plan to diminish the cases, to eradicate the virus. The fact that we have Americans who are so privileged that they think wearing a mask is oppression shows how we do not care about neighbor in this country. And so I am extremely concerned about the ways that COVID-19 will be extended unnecessarily, which means there are going to be exponentially more unnecessary deaths. That frightens me and it angers me. And so that is something that I'm deeply concerned about, is the conscience of this nation, if it still has one, if it ever had one. That being said, the hope is that ignorant folk like that got to die off sometime. Okay. Right? So at this point, I'm just waiting for folks to croak so that these young people, these young, vibrant, vivacious people that I was just mentioning can grow up to be the leaders of our nation. I'd love to see a 2024 ticket with Stacey Abrams and AOC. That would be the icing on the cake. This administration we just elected, we were just choosing not fascism, okay? That's what happened there. But to see Black women, women of color, queer folks, folks in leadership, in the church, right, in businesses, in schools and universities, bringing the fullness and the breadth and the depth of their experiences to the learning, to the political arena, to the spiritual spaces, that is when we all get free. Because when the most marginalized among us is free, we will all flourish. So that is where my hope is, that even though this is how it is, it will not always be this way. And now there's the preacher showing up.
That's great. Last question is always, do you still have a message for the listeners of this podcast? But you know, you have given them already some great advice, I think. But so it's up to you.
The benediction is chase joy. That's the benediction. With so much going on, it is easy to get caught up in the hysteria of the moment. And I'm not taking away from the immense collective and individual grief and trauma and mourning and anxiety that could be happening. I know there are many of us who live with, you know, mental health challenges and PTSD and anxiety and, you know, chemical imbalances. I am not negating that. What I am saying is that every day, multiple times a day, even if it takes a little labor, you have to find the joy in your life, and you got to chase that joy wherever it may lie. Because at this point, it's no longer about our joy being resistance. It is about our joy being revolutionary. All right, we're tearing this shit down. You got to have some fun while we do it.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, you're sharing so all your wisdom. This is great.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I will tell our listeners to check out the notes that come perfect with the podcast as well. So
yeah,
thank you so much. And yeah, good luck with everything you do. And it was such a pleasure.
Likewise. Thanks, Maurice.
Thanks, LaFon.
Greetings, darling ones. My name is LaVon Proverbs Briggs, aka Pastor Vay. I am the founder, curator, and visionary of The Proverbial Experience. The Proverbial Experience is a series of Instagram live spiritual gatherings to nourish your soul. And I want to encourage you to follow my good friend, Maurice. He is doing amazing work around raising awareness of and ending hunger and poverty and food injustice. So go to his website, 100miles.org, learn more about the journey, how you can support him, and how we can put an end to hunger once and for all. I was going to say your last name. How do you say it? Is it Blum?
Bloom.
Bloom, like the flower. Okay, that was the stutter. Maurice Bloom. Maurice Bloom.
Bloom.
All right. And I would love to amplify the work of my good friend Maurice Bloom.
Thank you for listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on www.100mile.org or follow us on Facebook.